Penguin Random House Audio presents Same Same by Peter Mendelssohn. Read for you by Ewan Morton. For K. R. V. Part 1. The Spot. 1. I was unaware at first that I had entered the Institute. Sure, the dome appeared, briefly, far off in the desert. A bright semicircle, a second sun, perched upon the wavy horizon. I thought it was a business park, or the reflective apron of one of the Freehold's honeycombed luxury developments. A stadium? One of those steroidal mega mosques one reads about in the literature, perhaps? Something. It drifted along for a spell during that endless drive out, along the rightmost edge of my vision, no matter how many times the car merged onto new roads. I could see it even through the double tint of my sunglasses and the vehicle's windows. The dome, known only as a flare. Other than that, there were the dunes, of course, dune by dune, stuccoed to the sky behind. And these grey superhighways, colonized by sand along their shoulders, giving them lightly ragged edges, like monumental pencil marks. But nothing else, really. Besides that distant dome, which was there, until it wasn't. It vanished. Could it have been a mirage, a trick of the light? IDK. But no. No, I can see it again. Oh, I see the dome all right. Only I see it now from the inside. From underneath, I mean. I didn't notice a security checkpoint, so it will have been unmanned. There were no barriers to raise or lower, no fanfare, no ceremony. I was in the desert, outside of the Institute, and now I am within it. And the Institute is all about me. This uncanny oasis in the middle of a scorch plain, and atop it all, the great upturned bowl of its metastructure. The desert, and with it my old life, now gone. Poof. And so the car hums along, through this entirely new artificial ecosystem, past the tall palms which line both sides of the straight, clean avenue, casting their tarantula shadows. Off to the sides, parklands, lawns, copses, nature trails, etc. How many gardeners must be employed here? No sign of them, though, nor of any of the Institute fellows. The stubble of a few communications spars, small electrical substations, glints from far-off solar panels amid the greenery. What looks like a desalination unit, and now an enormous, brightly blue artificial lake. Farther off, the buildings themselves. The campus. The car scrunches onto an access road, and I can see that I am approaching an immense set of concrete and glass slabs. One of the first Western-style constructions in the Freehold, and the work of an influential architectural collective. The car slows, then stops in the building's shadow, and I debark. Mine is the only vehicle in the lot, and I have that persistent, unsettling feeling of being marooned in a city of one. The quiet air of a town after a massacre. I wonder where all the other Institute fellows are, but remember the time of day, and recall that at this hour they all must be hard at work on their projects, at their workstations and in their studios, their laboratories, so on. Exhilarating to imagine that I might belong to their number. Also exhilarating to discover that it is wonderfully cool out under the dome. The work of the metastructure's air circulators. I stretch limbs, breathe in deeply, which reaps the strangest, almost autumnally crisp air, air with a unique but unlocatable aftertaste, something citric and rubbing alcohol. A chemical terroir. Exhale. Craning, I still can't see a soul. I reach for my device again, whisper it awake, and it produces a sigh and begins to faintly pulse. Pull up a map, pinch outward, fix Miss Fairfax's position inside. And so I follow an animated arrow, guiding me toward the building's main doors, which obligingly swish open, and then I enter. Meander through a maze of empty hallways, branching like bronchioles in a lung, past the empty lounge areas, the empty galleries, until I arrive in a bright atrium. A hangar, really. Easily hundreds of meters across and just as high, housing the Landau-Schmidt Glacier. Maybe it's just a replica. The website claims it's the real McCoy, though the language is ambiguous, as in, from the original. Either way, a large thing of any kind is always an event of sorts. I knew there would be such sights out here, enclosed ski slopes and so on. But still, wow. Just look at it. I snap a pic. Caption. Post. Needless to say, as with everywhere else in the Institute, no one other than me is here to see the glacier, to climb, ski, or otherwise experience it. So there's more of the southering silences of large empty spaces. A viewing platform. The escalator takes me up. The higher platform descends into view, arrives beneath my feet. Modular tables and sleek, rounded chairs. A bar. Lots of white leather and orange plastic. It's all the decor, the signage, the softly chirping music even. Retro-futurism. This is what once passed as modern. Bleeding edge, and now, curated thus, it is pure kitsch. Or maybe it's nostalgia. Nostalgia for another future. I'm enjoying it. After all, what is nostalgia without kitsch? Just plain old memory. My new admin, Miss Fairfax, sits at a small table, looking just like the online versions of her. Same face, round, same hair, dark, same glasses, thick. I now realize that she reminds me, in a pleasant way, of other women I've known. A type of woman who wears glasses. I want to say that she is a specimen of this particular type. Even IRL, with its fuller, richer aspect. In any case, I find her conformity to type oddly comforting. Next to her is a man I don't know. His type, louche and jaded. Very pale. Hair, shaved along the sides, but flopping down in front along his forehead. His eyes are deep-set, feline, feminine. Almost cold. He wears a smart-looking tunic. Miss Fairfax wears one as well, albeit a different colour. Odd, this. Yet they both look so chic, especially in this setting, with the piped upholstery and softly lambent overheads. My jacket is shiny at the lapels and elbows, and creased just about everywhere, and obviously quite the wrong colour for the climate. The sole of my left Oxford is detaching itself in just one more emblem of my general dishevelment. I am wearing this rumpled clothing in direct contravention of my normal manner of dressing, which is kempt and orderly. I always say that we are how we dress, or the clothes make the man, or use some other kind of formulation in which a person is equated directly with his clothing, and so I feel that I am being misrepresented. The rumpled type. Worn. Déclassé. And as I stand here thinking these uneasy thoughts, suddenly, like a spooked herd, Miss Fairfax and her companion look up, simultaneously,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?